This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Coach, we're running with the JV team in here today. I apologize about that.
I consider myself part of the JV.
I was being very Montana State there.
Head coach of the UNC Bears football team, Ed Lamb, joining me here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. What a whirlwind of a game that was Saturday, coach, against UC Davis. I was able to catch the majority. I watched all of that game. Now that I think of it, we had an event that we were emceeing on Saturday afternoon. But let's talk, man. Backup quarterback for UC Davis. How far in advance did you know it was going to be the backup quarterback going for UC?
Well, maybe just an hour before, and it's not something we can trust. You know, the coaches do weird things. I know the head coach of Davis pretty well. I've been coaching against him for a long time, a lot of different jerseys and universities we've represented over the years, and he's a good friend. I didn't know whether to trust that. And it's really difficult sometimes to go against the second quarterback, very similar to when we went up to Idaho. You know, we won that game, but we gave up a lot of points at Idaho, and it was against their second quarterback. And both Joshua Wood, Idaho's starting quarterback all year before we played him, and Caden Pinnick, UC Davis's starting quarterback, they are off-schedule throwers, so they really hurt you when they get out of the pocket. And so the game plan was set around that, and you know, here we are an hour before the game. We find out we're not facing Caden Pinnick. We're facing more of a pocket passer, an on-schedule thrower. And Davis did a really nice job, caught us off guard, and we had to make some adjustments quickly.
Coach, I thought this game was going to get ugly early, 24-0. Yeah. What was the vibe on the sideline, and how big was that Braden Monroe touchdown right before half?
Vibe on the sideline was accountability. There was, we were making mistakes and had a little bit of a depth issue at corner that hurt us there. We had to adjust to that. Had to a couple of true freshmen out there playing key roles at the cornerback position. Had some eye, what we call eye violations on defense. Davis took advantage of it. They were also coming off a bye and played very fast, and we had to adjust to the speed of the game a bit. And then offensively, we shot ourselves in the foot. You know, we drove it right down the opening possession, missed a field goal, had critical penalty, offensive pass interference, which, like, off-ball OPI is like one of the rarest calls in football. You can go years without having an off-ball OPI penalty. We got two in the same game, and that's the biggest penalty in football. It's a 15-yard penalty from the line of scrimmage, so it's really a difficult penalty to overcome. First and 25 in the NFL, it's only a 10-yard penalty. So a lot of things that we had to overcome there at halftime. I was really proud of the team for putting together that score there. Huge play by Braden Monroe, made a contested catch in coverage, cut it back, and scored it.
You know, you've had success. You've got a couple of those games under your belt. You mentioned the Idaho game, right? You've got some wins here early on. These guys are starting to learn, you know, what it tastes like to get over the hump, not just be competitive, not just be close, which you made this a competitive ball game. They don't make that last field goal. I'm like, is something crazy about to happen here in Greeley? What's the difference in the team now? Because I think even after some of those early season close losses to, like, CSU, it was, hey, we're the improvement's there. Now that the guys have won and your staff has won a couple of games, and then you lose these close ones, is it still that same hunger to get back? Is there a different vibe around the team now, Coach?
Yeah, I think the vibe is right now, the players think they have good coaches, and the coaches think we have good players, and that's understood, communicated. It's really something that is at a fragile state, though, because any time that somebody puts that much work into something like our coaches and players have, and we're not successful, we don't get the final result that we want. We look for reasons, and as coaches, it's really our job. We have to look for these reasons and point them out. So we I'm really working hard with the coaches this week on, hey, what are the winning efforts? Yeah, you guys have done a great job. This is why we're losing, and we make corrections. But what are the winning efforts that are going on? Because our players need to hear that from us. They need to hear that they're good football players and that we believe in them. And then they'll give us the respect that we have earned in time. But it doesn't work if we're just pointing fingers and telling our players that they're the reason that we're losing, because our players can turn around and do the same thing right back to us.
Visiting with head coach of the UNC Bears football team, Ed Lamb, this morning. When you're watching film, so when you're watching UC Davis film, you're breaking it down, are you looking at, hey, you know, this team did this really well on the defensive side to kind of contain them. Can we implement something similar to that? Or what are you looking to get out of film?
It can be a slippery slope. A lot of times when you're losing as a program, and who knows where we're at right now, anybody who wants to, you know, chime in on that, you know, they could have validity. I think we're moving in a good overall direction, but we're disappointed, especially, you know, we're on a two-game losing streak. But any time that I've been coaching a team that's really struggling badly, long losing streaks, you end up doing that every week. You're just copying what the previous opponent's doing, and you kind of forget that teams – when teams are giving up certain things, that's the thing they're going to adjust the most. That's the thing they're attacking. That's the thing they're working on and getting better at, and schematically and technically. So you don't want to go too far that way, but you also want to, you know, take a look at where a team has been weak and see if you can continue to exploit that. But overall, a winning program, a championship culture, knows exactly what they want to do. That's what I'm really impressed with about Montana State. Like, they're not hiding anything. They're coming straight at you. They will tell you wide zone is their number one run play, and I'd be surprised if they're not willing to say, hey, we're running wide zone on this play.
Does that make it harder because you know what they're going to do? They're just really damn good at it?
In a way. Because it can be more mentally crushing. Like, UC Davis had some kind of gimmicky plays that they popped on us in the first half. And so our players are on the sideline going, oh, man, it's my mistake. I got my eyes in the wrong place. They fooled me. You know, the misdirection got me. But it's like, not sustainable. How many of those plays do you have?
Right. And we saw that, right? I mean,
sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that's great. You know, you had a bye week and you put some special plays in for the Bears. Like, congratulations. You got real prepared. And Davis is a good team anyway, right? And they played a great day on defense and really, really limited us to capitalizing and finishing drives on offense. So I give them total credit, but that's not what we're playing in Montana State.
What are you playing in Montana State, this team coming in? UC Davis was number six. Where does Montana State sit right now?
I think they're at fourth. You know, there's multiple polls, just like at the FBS level. So fourth in the country, you know, in the national championship game last year, we are facing... You know, we're facing Alabama. You know, our level of football, we're facing Ohio State. It's exciting. It's exciting for our guys. They're offensively, they are, like I say, a wide zone and drop back pass with a mobile quarterback. Not a ton of play action, not a ton of gimmicky type plays, enough to keep you honest. You know, they're not simple. I don't mean to say they're simple. They're complex enough. And defensively, I would say, same thing. They're not complicated in what they do. We know we're going to get 60-70% too high safety, either cover two or cover four or a combination of those, and just enough pressure and closed middle defense to keep us honest.
I mean, this Montana State team, the two losses to Oregon and South Dakota State. Yeah. I mean, they're just rolling through here in the Big Sky. You just said it. You're playing the Alabama. Is that communicated to the players this week?
They're aware, completely yeah. aware. So, yes, it's communicated, but also, like, it would be kind of like wasted breath in a way. Like,
sure.
they're very aware of who, you know, who the teams are in our conference to beat. They're very aware of facility. I mean, one of the reasons that you choose Northern Colorado as a player, most of our players chose us, is to play in the environments at Montana and at Montana State and at Idaho. I mean, these are just not the same, you know, our stadium and our environment versus those stadiums and those environments. And that becomes part of our culture and part of our pride is, you know, okay, can we develop into being a championship team here without some of those advantages that Montana State has? So our players are very aware of, you know, that we're the underdogs.
I love that too, because, you know, I grew up in just a small town east of here that definitely was a drinking town with a football problem. But that was like one of our rallying cries when we'd have the, you know, PE schools from Cherry Creek come in and they're on their luxury buses and stuff like that. It's almost like a point of pride. And do you feel that with your players?
Absolutely. But it's something that we've had to build over time. You know, first I just come in and talking about it, and the players kind of laugh at it. Like, look, I called JBS, man, fire up the meat plant. We are going to create living hell on this team. You know, we're going to be a hard place to play. And, you know, I think there has to be some success tied with that before
right.
the coach starts to gain credibility. And we're definitely not there yet, but I think the players are starting to see that vision of, okay, Greeley can be a tough place for opponents to win. You take any other, you know, if you put it at the FBS level, like the way our team's been playing against the sixth-ranked team in the country last week, hey, we're driving in the fourth quarter. You know, we got first and goal at the six. It was called back on a penalty, but that was to make it a 24-21 game, a game that we fell down 24-0. Like, there's a lot to build from there, and there's a lot to correct and get better at and take advantage of those opportunities. But it's an amazing story what these guys have pulled themselves up from, and a big part of that getting over the hump and building a championship culture is going to be, we have to protect at home. We've got to win in Greeley no matter who's here.
You were talking about it and alluded to it a little bit earlier, but it seems like the message this week is like, hey, you guys are good football players. Don't lose trust in this right now, yeah. You know, because you've been so close so many times. What has that response been? Because when you have had a little bit of success and now it's not working, that's where frustration can start to boil and grow. What's the response been?
It's, do they enjoy practice? You know, because as coaches, we're out there with them. We're telling them what to do. Are they doing it and enjoying it? And I'll give you a great example. You know, I pop in the offensive huddle quite often. I don't like to read the script because I like to keep my eyes on what's going on. So I'll pop in the offensive huddle to hear the play call. And the previous play, Carver Cheeks had made a really nice catch on a decent throw. But when you make a really nice catch, it's usually not a perfect throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the huddle, he's getting ready for the next play. Eric Gibson, the quarterback, says to Carver, he says, hey, great catch, Carver. You're still ugly as hell. That's the kind of fun that I'm looking for. Okay, yeah, we're a team on a two-game losing streak. We've got Montana coming in. Are we tight or are we loose? Are we confident? Are we enjoying what we do? And that was such a great – I'm sorry if I wasn't supposed to say the H word.
No, you're fine. You're completely fine, my friend.
Is that one okay?
That one's okay. Micah, you're one of the –
there's a quote.
You're one of the guests that Micah actually pays attention to.
Okay.
So if you say something you're not supposed to, Micah should get it. But, again, we're working with the JV squad
back there, Coach. I pay attention to all the guests.
How much of that – I mean, because you look at some of the leaders on this team, and I think at this point you're 3-5. Like you said, you just took on the number 6 in the country. You got number 4 rolling in, and you're doing it all with your backup quarterback, and that has not been brought up by you, and I was glad to hear that and that you haven't brought that up. But how much of that has Eric Gibson become one of those vocal leaders, or one of those, hey, I'm going to maintain, because he we've seen the games, 4 interceptions, couple pick six thrown. Looking at him from through the TV screen, you couldn't tell it. And that's what you got to have. But how much as a team do they look at Eric Gibson for that?
They do. He is tougher than a $2 steak. That's, I mean, he embodies everything that we want in a football player, and we're all willing to stand by his side and win or lose. And so if he turns the ball over, you know, those are coachable moments. Like, let's take this last turnover deep on our own end. It really got the momentum rolling for Davis. Our defense goes on the field on the 20-yard line with 20 yards of field position against I think the third-ranked offense in the country. It's like, that's a difficult position to be in. But, you know, we know that Eric's going to come off the sideline, take full responsibility for that. We know that if he's doing it in the game, it's been allowed to some degree. And so we know we have a part of that as coaches, and the defense knows that there are some games. Like, let's take the great Idaho win a few weeks ago. We gave up 33 points in that win. Like, we're not in that position without Eric Gibson and other guys on offense really scoring a lot of points. So we're winning and losing as a team right now. That's most important to me. You know, that the wins and losses, people outside the building will define us based on our record, and that's okay. It's part of being an athlete and a coach. But in terms of kind of like long-term progress and what I'm trying to help these guys accomplish for their life, the most important thing is that they stay together and don't let losses or wins define them.
And I know we got to. I know you got to do a little bit of coach speak to me on this question.
Are you going to ask me how the game's going
to
go?
What do the Bears have to do well to win this game on Saturday?
I don't need coach speak for that.
Oh, we got to run the ball well. We got to be balanced. We got to play good defense. What do you got?
Yeah. So Montana State's strength is their running game. That's their number one strength. That's what they hang their hat on. So we have to take that away from them. We have to make them doubt whether they can do their number one option, whether they can maintain their identity as a run football team. Wide zone is their run scheme. It's a scheme we've had some trouble with in the past. South Dakota, University of South Dakota, is a wide zone team, and you know it's coming, and stopping it can be a real problem. So we got to improve in that area. Offensively, we probably are going to need to cobble together drives. They will play fairly loose and over the top, like UC Davis did. We moved the ball against Davis. We just didn't close out enough drives with successful field goals and touchdowns, and we didn't stay out of the penalty phase. And that's, you know, offensive football can't always be throwing the ball vertical over the top. If a defense wants to take that away, they can take that away. We got to take what they give us.
Visiting with head coach Ed Lamb of the UNC Bears football team. This offense has turned into a very booming offense, a lot of big plays and things like that. How difficult is it when you do get inside that red zone, when you get into that 20 and in, to turn into more of a smash mouth where every yard is where you got to be at?
Yeah, field gets smaller, right? Yeah. When there's only 11 guys on defense no matter where you are. So if you're on your own 1 yard line, you've got 110, 111, 109 yards to work with that the defense has to cover, 109 yards by 53 and a third. As we get down inside the tight red zone, that square footage is much smaller that those 11 guys have to defend. And so a run game can be, a solid run game can be a huge advantage in those areas. I can acknowledge that. It's difficult. It's always difficult for a spread offense to be successful in those areas. And it's been a challenge for us. We've failed on the 1 yard line, in two separate games, or on the inside the 5 yard line at least, with wins within our grasp. And so that is definitely something that we will have to do a better job of, whether that's establishing the run game, whether that's just being able to throw into tighter windows. It's really probably got to be both, and we got to get better.
Noon on Saturday here at Nottingham. How was the environment with where the cameras are out on ESPN Plus? It just shows the other side. How was the environment on Saturday?
It's. I think it's been wonderful. You know, considering where our program is at. You know, like for decades, considering where our team is at. Like we're not. You know, we're out of the championship hunt in the conference, and we were going into last week. We've got a lot of people that are enjoying watching the Bears play. And I'm appreciative of that and recognize the fact that we've got to win more consistently, win more often to have meaningful games where we'll fill that place up and then get the administration talking about, you know, we're leaving some revenue on the table here by not having more seats.
I love it, man. I'm playing in a golf tournament on Saturday. Are you busy? Yeah.
As tempting as that sounds, what's the prize money?
This one I don't know if you'd want to do because Ed and I played in a two-man scramble, I had to buy Ed Tylenol after carrying me all day. This one is six-hole scramble, six holes best ball, and six holes alternate shot. And so I think you'd rather be where you're going to be at on Saturday, no matter what. Obviously, we're doing this in gist, but you don't want to be using my shots in the alt shot, Coach.
Alternate shot is a real mental test. Coach Smiley and I are on the same golf team here for in the off season with the men's league at the country club. And when we have that alternate shot format, it is really difficult kind of mentally to be like, oh, okay, we're over here. Huh? Like it is strange. It's hard.
Yeah. So I was visiting with Mike Danson, who does Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. He's going to be one of my teammates and it's a three man. So it's going to be three man alt shot.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a weird format. I'm looking forward to it, but he was like, we've been in contention in this tournament. And then we get to the alt shot and he kind of looks at me and I'm like, did we drink too much last year? Like what? And he goes, no, you're just a crappy golfer, Tanner. I'm like, okay, thanks, buddy. So I've at least got two guys that they know what they're getting into with me now, Coach. So you go get a win, we'll go get a win, huh? Equal importance.
You must bring some value to the team.
Yeah, I buy the drinks. I buy the drinks. Ed, good luck to you on Saturday, my friend. Appreciate this. Last quick question, because I did tell you we're taking you super long today because I don't want to talk with Micah, and we've done that. HVAC guy, do you think Montana has actual radio schedule? scouts who listen to this. Probably not here locally, like with this interview. That's why I think you're a little even more open here about the game plan type of stuff on this. But that podcast, man, I guarantee you people are tuning in, trying to get an advantage of.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We call it a dirt man, but every program has one or more dirt men, you know, student assistants, volunteers, GAs, but they're responsible to dig up the dirt. And in the case that a coach, you know, in the case that a radio personality might say, hey, you know, what are the weaknesses or how are you going to win this game? And a coach might step on their own feet and give some bulletin board material, it'll be found and used as motivation. So yeah, there's no question in my mind there are people that are listening to all that stuff. And maybe this goes out on the internet, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
And is recorded.
Yeah, it is. Don't start giving me coach speak now that you know that, though, Ed. Don't do that.
You know, we need to go into a deeper conversation about this. There are certain areas where I think, you know, certain questions that a coach has to do that to protect his own players.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, to stay off the bulletin board. But as much as possible, I want to be authentic and real. And
I try and avoid those questions that you have to do that with. Yeah. We had that conversation after you left last week. I'm like, that's what I love about you, because you hate when hate when I say, coach, you're giving me coach speak right now. Yeah. Like, I feel that, and I love that I can throw that at you. Yeah. But I try and avoid those questions where you have to. Like, hey, is so-and-so starting on set? Like, you don't – if you can hold that close to your chest, do it. So, Ed, I appreciate you as always. Thanks for taking 30 minutes up so I don't have to talk to Micah. Yeah. That's very well done by you, and very much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck on Saturday. 8:28 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. All right, we've got a new rule set in place now with Coach Lamb, because he hates giving coach speak, but he has to at times. I hate asking questions that invoke those coach speak answers. So anytime I ask a coach speak question, he's just going to lean into the microphone and say, coach speak, coach speak. He's not even going to answer the question. So we've got a new rule going forward. I think that'll make me a better talk show host, Micah. Do you actually think UNC is going to beat Montana State? Like, in your heart of hearts, not fanboy, not because he's a great dude and great leader of young men and got this program going in the right direction. If you break down this game on Saturday, do you truly believe that the 24.5-point underdogs UNC Bears beat the number 4 team in the country?
Yes, and I've been saying it since the beginning of the season. You can go back in the podcast. Weird stuff happens.
All right.
It's history. Weird stuff happens between Montana State and UNC, and I think UNC takes it.
All right. I got to be a good steward of the clock because I was a bad steward of the clock. 8:35 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
I finally remembered, if for those of you listening out there, Brian and I had a six-pack. Brian owes me a six-pack of beer. In April, he bet that the Rockies would not get 40 wins this year. I said that they would. That's the only positive thing that came out of the Rocky season. We doubled down, and I bet, Dancing with the Stars last night, Andy Richter still on the show. It was his birthday yesterday. I said, there's not a chance he goes home. Brian says, I'll take that bet. Let's go double or nothing. So now Brian owes me a 12-pack of beer. Mike, I just keep winning. That's all I do. You're going to get so tired of winning.
You're going to be like UNC this weekend.
All we do is win. I love it. 8:38 the time. Kristen and CJ from Weld Community Credit Union going to join us. They've got some specials going on right now. We've been telling you about the kids' savings account. We'll get some more details from them about that when we come back. But first, let's get to the KFK News and Sports Center. Welcome back in, Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint. Brian Geary is out in California enjoying wine, so good. What? Good for him. I know Kristen joining us, Kristen Campbell from Weld Community Credit Union. Yeah, he's out in Lodi.
What?
Yeah, Lodi, California, for all the wine. He's like, oh, the weather's supposed to be like 65-70 the entire time. Shut up, Brian. Shut up.
I know. Leave us in the freezing temperature.
I know.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. How are you, Kristen?
I'm well. Thank you for having us.
Of course. Always excited for these conversations. And we've got CJ Martinez joining us, social media
coordinator.
The SMC over at Weld Community Credit Union. CJ, first time on the radio?
Yes, this is my first time.
You don't sound nervous at all. Are you nervous?
Yes, very, actually.
Really? All I was going to ask was, like, who did you vote for in the last election? Like, let's talk politics. No.
I got to go. And I'm out.
I just got done moderating city council debates.
Oh.
And going through, like, and these are... The best compliment I got was a word that I got called a word that I can't say on the FCC airwaves because of how tough the questions were. I'm like, that's great. That means I'm doing my job.
Exactly.
And we had just a softball question from United Way of Weld County, like, how would you work? And one of the candidates leans into the microphone and goes, I'll pass. And I'm like, okay there. So when you said that, I got to go. I was like, that would be a reasonable time to do that. But CJ, are you new with Weld Community Credit Union?
Yes, I've only been there about a week, but it's been really rewarding.
So you start a job, and a week later, they've got you on the radio.
Yes.
Is that bad management, in your opinion?
No, not at all. I'm throwing her in.
I love this. I love this. Well, Kristen, last time we chatted, obviously, we were saying farewell to Jolene.
Yep.
And we obviously, everybody knew that she was, Weld Community Credit Union was going to be in great hands with you. What do you guys got going on right now?
Well, we've still got our kids promotion going on. So open a kids account under 18. They get $50. Put in their account for them. So that's awesome. So stop by. We also have on Friday, stop talking with my hands, Friday, we have a Halloween trick-or-treat office. So you come into each of the offices, and they have different items for each kiddo from 3 to 5 at 2555 47th Avenue in Greeley. So stop by. Bring your little ones.
Different
It'll be warm.
It's a different item, like different candies?
Yeah, not just candy either. Like, we've got cool prizes.
Okay.
Like Halloween stuff.
Okay.
Some credit union swag. We've got all kinds of stuff.
I love that. Okay, so let me ask you, this was our poll question yesterday.
Okay.
Giving out Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. Like, I live out in the boonies. I don't have anybody that shows up to my place, thankfully. How late do you go giving out Halloween candy?
At home?
Yeah, at home. Whoa. Yeah, no. 3 to 5. I know Weld Community Credit Union is 3 to 5 on Friday. Personally, at your place.
Personally, at my place. I go till my candy's out, so whatever time that
doesn't
is.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. I just shut the lights off and then...
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
CJ, are you going to be giving out candy?
I love to give out candy, but I live in, like, this weird, like, cul-de-sac where literally nobody comes. So I, like, hope and wait by the door, but no one really comes. Then you have to eat all the candy.
Yeah.
It ends up being mine.
You know, we had a couple of people that were saying, like, 7 p.m. they shut her down, and I'm like... That is way too early to be
way
doing
too early.
That.
It doesn't even get dark until like 6.
Correct. Until this weekend when the devil time change happens. It's dark when we wake up.
It's more sleep. What are you talking
dark
about?
Dark when we go to lunch and dark when we drive home. Seasonal depression is about to really hit me here, CJ. That's what I'm talking about. Come on now. How insensitive of you.
Sorry. Well,
and I've got a 10-month-old son. I'm very curious to see how that hits him because he's going to be waking up an hour earlier still. That's going to be fun for everybody involved in that. So, yeah, that's what I'm worried about, CJ. It's not just an hour of sleep. I'm just giving you a hard time. I hope Kristen warned you about me before you guys got here.
Are you guys
Halloween fans, though? Like,
yes.
You psychopath.
I love Halloween so much. Like, we always do, like, family costumes and stuff. So, yeah. Yeah.
Family costumes.
Yeah. So
you're that family?
Okay. So when my daughter was, she was born in April. So whatever, October, when she was very first born.
Those are our months.
Yeah. So we decided to be a Three Wise Men shop. So my husband wore a Jack Daniels t-shirt. I wore a Jim Beam t-shirt. And then she wore a little Mexican poncho. And I put a mustache on her pacifier and a little sombrero on her hat. So she was the tequila. So we were a Three Wise Men shop.
So
that's where it started.
That is very cute. So this is the first Halloween that we've had a child, and he's 10 months old, so I'm like, I feel weird going to someone's door and asking for candy for a kid that can't eat it. It's like, okay, fatso, you're going to have diabetes already, right? So we went to the pumpkin patch last Sunday.
Fine.
And my wife's one request was, I want a pumpkin big enough for him to fit in.
Oh.
So Halloween, we're going to go over to my parents' place. I'm hoping there's some cold beverages there. We're going to cut the top off that pumpkin and carve a pumpkin just big enough for him to sit in. So
nice.
We were able to do that. But I don't like the horror movies. I don't like the scary stuff.
No, I don't like the scary stuff either.
Are you a scary movie fan, CJ?
I love scary movies.
Oh my God. What is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Oh gosh.
Putting you right on the spot. Because I watched the one with Valak, the nun, and that, no, no, I, no. Is that the Conjuring? I think I would say it's the Conjuring.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like the second Conjuring or something.
I think Sinister is also pretty scary.
You ever seen The Gallows?
No.
Okay, that's, so again, I don't do them, but my brother swears that's the scariest movie he's ever seen. So if you're interested, The Gallows, you have to check that out.
I will be checking that out.
Because I will not be.
Yeah, no thanks.
No.
No.
Like, there was a viral trend on social media, on TikTok, where they're watching something scary and there's a jump scene and they'll just stop and go over to the Disney Playhouse and it's, hot dog! You know, yes. Have you seen that?
Yes.
That's me, but the entire time I'm just watching hot dog, hot diggity dog. So you guys got the kids. Thing going on. I love this. I love that you don't have to just pick your favorite kid. You'll put $50 into every kid under 18, correct?
Yep.
And is there anything else going on that our listeners need to know about, Kristen?
No, that's it. We've been busy. We went to the Weld Community Foundation lunch yesterday. Amazing.
Very
the four local songwriters were community songs. It was amazing.
It was so inspiring.
We're just out being in the community like we always do. So.
I love this. CJ, so you joined this. Are you from around here? Jay, give us a little bit about your past. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Yes, I was born and raised here in Greeley. So I've just kind of hung around Northern Colorado for most of my life. I graduated from Ames Community College.
Woo-hoo!
So
go Aardvarks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love them. Just kind of bringing my experience to the credit union and having fun while doing that.
I love it. One week in, you like it?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. I love having it. I didn't know what we were going to do with this. I thought we were just going to have Kristen pounding on the table the entire time that she talks in here as well. But on more of a serious side of what you guys do, sounds like there could possibly be another rate cut coming here from the feds.
Possibly.
Because we were just looking. We've got our car with you guys.
Yep.
And I was looking at the interest rate on that. I'm like, is this something where people should be reevaluating and looking at and saying, hey, is there a better deal? Can we refinance with Weld Community Credit Union right now?
Of course, always. We're always available to refinance. So, and we do, and we stay competitive, and we really do have some of the lowest rates in the town. So.
There's zero doubt about that. Yeah. You know that it's just full transparency. Like my father-in-law is the president over at FMS Bank here in Greeley, and you guys both agreed to share this show, which I'm very appreciative of. But when we were buying that car, my wife's car, he's like, I would call over to Weld Community Credit Union. So very awesome. Very very good, and you guys just keep crushing it. So this Friday, 3 to 5, trick or treating at Weld Community Credit Union.
Perfect.
Can they take a stapler or something like that? Or is it just the assigned items?
It's just the assigned
items. Okay, all right. That's fair. CJ, welcome to the Weld Community Credit Union family. You crushed it on the radio, especially for not knowing maybe what you're walking into with me. I'm going to apologize in advance for Brian, my co-host, who's normally sitting back there behind that glass. Wait till you meet him.
I was going to say, we miss him.
Do we?
I do.
Do we? It's been 2 days.
I miss him.
Yeah, I do too. Well, okay.
I was going to say, really?
For a moment, I forgot who was back there. Hey, he's a member owner.
He is. Thank you for that, Micah.
Awesome.
Don't let him make any decisions, please. Weld Community Credit Union, 2555 47th Avenue in Greeley, or online at weldccu.com. You guys, last question, then we got to get out of here.
Okay.
Are you dressing up for Halloween, and what are you going as?
I'm going to be Ghoulie this year, so I like got some Halloween pants. They've got ghosts and houses and spooky things on them.
Who's
and then
Ghoulie?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like not a person.
Oh, you're
I'm just being like Halloween.
She made it up.
I made up that word.
You're a great translator. You're welcome back anytime. Are you dressing up? You do anything on Halloween?
Yeah, my friend actually let me borrow her hot dog costume, so I'm going to be a hot dog.
Hot dog, diggity dog.
I love it. Well, have fun Friday, guys. Check out 3 to 5 at Weld Community Credit Union. Thank you guys so much for your time this morning.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to see you guys. 8:54 the time now. Let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando. Always fun to have the folks from Weld Community Credit Union in the studio. Micah, we are both member owners over there. They do a really great job. So if you're looking to refinance, I know Brian's got some stuff over there as well. This is what I love about the show. Every sponsor on the show we've used in some way, shape, or form. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're on our run of interviews here. We'll have Evan Hyatt from Pathways joining us. November is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month, so we'll talk to Evan about that. And then the dude down the hall, Derb's going to join us, Front Range Spare Change. Take a look at the college football front this weekend. It's Good Morning Morning NoCo, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. That's 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.